Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Let's prepare. We're going to observe the Lord's table together. The Lord told us to take simple elements and to remember it. It's really interesting. We can get all religious and weird and lose the focus of what we're supposed to be claiming. Jesus is the only reason you and I can be right with God the Father. His shed blood on the cross is the only thing that makes us right with God, nothing else. Our effort? No. He says our good works are like filthy rags, all of our own righteous works. We're already lost. We need a Savior, not a counselor. Okay? We needed someone to intervene, and Jesus did that. So we get together and we pass around bread, which represents his body that was given for us, and then, of course, wine that commemorates the fact that he shed his blood for us. It's just a continual remembrance. If you started reading your Bible this year, to read through the Bible in a year, you started in Genesis. If you're using, like, Bible Gateway app or something to give you a section in Genesis, a section in Matthew, as you read through the Bible, you read about a historical event that the world scoffs at called the Great Flood. That God had said to Noah that he was going to destroy the world, but that he made a way out in that he told Noah to build an ark and get in there because the storm was coming. You know, the only thing that saved the people, those few that were saved back in those days, the only thing that saved them was they got in the ark. It's a picture of Jesus, too. He is the ark to rescue us from the coming judgments that God asked to bring about, or there is no justice. There is no right and wrong. He's got to do it. He's got to judge the world. He has to. To survive that judgment, you have to get in an ark called Jesus, that when the storm comes, you're lifted above it. You see that picture? To me, that's beautiful. So you might, you know, grow up in the church and all that stuff. I want you to know God isn't impressed with that. What makes you right with God is one thing. Whether or not you bow the knee to Jesus. That he is the King, he is the Savior, and he is the Lord of all who died for your sins and was resurrected from the dead. Period. And that's what this is about. Remember this in the speed of you. So now that you're sitting, you can stand up. Thank you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He said, "This represents my body, which is given for you." Now, step right up here. Thank you. Pastor Go, would you pray for us loud?
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for what you've given us, Lord. Everything you had. So we pray that we would offer back to you all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, sir.
The place was white as snow, made of purest gold. It had the look of new, the look of old. I felt that I was home, it felt so far away. Had the urge to leave, yet I felt the urge to stay. Then the silence fell like none I'd ever known. I stood there among the millions, stood there all alone. His face was like the sun, his eyes were like the sea. His voice was like the thunder rolling through eternity. And I saw high and lifted up and rightfully adored. And I saw the Lord and he saw me. Then from sleep awakened, I looked into the night. The darkness overcome by a bright and shining light. Couldn't understand it,
couldn't reason how. But then my eyes beheld him, and I wasn't dreaming now. And I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up and rightfully adored. And I saw the Lord. And he saw me. He saw me.
Gentlemen, come, would you? Thanks.
It's still fun to watch some of you smile when your bread's passed around. Because these are fish from Kroger. And I know we're supposed to go to some church website and spend some exorbitant amount of money for their holy bread or whatever that is. That is nasty taste and stuff, people. Oh, I can tell you. And Jesus used matzah, the common bread of the day. And that's why we went to this a long time ago. Don't mean to be offensive. Just trying to be simple. Jesus was born of a virgin. He grew up to be a man. Walked in that body for 33 years. And was murdered on a cross for you. If you believe, take the bread and eat. And then the Lord took the cup. Now it's dead. He said, this represents my new covenant in my blood. Pastor, one more time. Yeah, first one time. Father, we're thankful that the blood erases our sin. God doesn't see it anymore. Ever. Never. Ever. We thank you for what you've done. And we thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
But it all gets down to what you've done with Jesus, right? I mean, you can tell me that you were on the building committee of that church. I don't care. It's got nothing to do with going to heaven and being right with God. It comes down to what have you done with his son, right? So it all gets down to this. In the morning when I arise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I am alone, yeah, when I am alone, yes, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Sing it out. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all. Gentlemen, come right ahead, please.
Sometimes I just want to shout. I don't deserve this. You don't either. I don't know you, but I know me, and I'm glad you don't know me, because you wouldn't like me very much. He's been good to me. He saved me as a dumb high school kid, just out of senior year. He found me, and I didn't deserve it. But he loved me anyhow, just like he loves you. Man, thank the Lord. Take the cup.
Amen.
Great. Jesus said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 63. Look, I know you get nervous when we're coming up on noon and he's just now opening the Bible. Don't, it's all right. We're going to get through it. It's all right. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord, we're all facing together this new year. Last week we talked about the whole concept of time, and they just fly by, Lord. So now we're facing this new one. Would you give us perspective? Would you give us understanding? Would you open your word to us? And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made the way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in a wasteland. You know, we face the future together, and, it's unnerving. Pam was talking about how messed up Washington is. The whole world is messed up, you guys. When I think of Isaiah, the prophet here, who wrote this prophecy, he was a rich guy. He was in the aristocracy of Israel when the nation completely collapsed. And God judged that nation and carried them away into captivity. I mean, his world fell apart on him. And here the Lord is talking about what he does and why and all of this. It's time to get the perspective that Isaiah had. He asked the question in the midst, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? And we all say, no, we can't figure out what's going on. It's all right. Isaiah couldn't either. But there are principles that he gives us here that we can cling to, and they are absolutely true, and they will be the light through the darkness in the world that we live in. How do you have the perspective? How do I keep focused on the right stuff? It's pretty simple. He puts it very straightforward. Let me give you some things. First of all, he says this in verse 16. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Let me tell you, the most important thing you can know is what God says. He is speaking and he is still speaking. He spoke and he is still speaking. You don't have to be in the dark. He is speaking, he has spoken, and we can cling to what he says. You know, there is an incredible power to believing God's word. Do you remember there was this rich man and Lazarus? Jesus told the story of the two men. This old Lazarus, he was a beggar that was carried to the rich man's table. Both these guys died. Lazarus went into paradise, but the rich man went into hell. Pretty tough depiction of it that Jesus gave. And one of the things this guy says as he's trying to reason with the Lord is he said, look, I have five brothers and a father still at home. Send even Lazarus, this other guy who's died, send him from paradise to tell my brothers and my father about this place so that they won't come here. And you know what the Lord says? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear even if someone is raised from the dead. You know, believing God's word is the key to everything else. Who are you going to give the authority and power to in your life? We have to decide as we start a new year, what am I going to believe? What am I going to cling to? Well, I am going to listen to the Lord the best that I can. And I know you will too. Trusting the Lord is not a head problem. We have the information we need. We can verify the scriptures. We know Jesus was historical. We know that he was raised from the dead because the world has been absolutely changed. There's all these great reasons to believe what we believe. It's not a head problem. It's a heart problem. The Bible says the fool has said it is heart, not in his head. Did you notice that? That there is no God. The fool, by the way, in the Hebrew, the crazy guy. You want to know what's crazy? To have the right information and not follow it because you have a heart problem. That's crazy. That's the ultimate mental illness. In fact, it's not a mental illness, it's a heart illness. He has spoken. That is an incredible thing that's true. Now, If you're going to receive anything from God this year, you got to believe him. The opposite is just not going to be good. Notice it's in the present tense. This is what the Lord says. Do you know he is still saying? What he said then, he's still saying now. He doesn't change. The promises he made in his word about all who trust in him are your verses. Those are about your life. You need to be reading them. You need to be listening to him. You need to be following him. He is speaking now. And you know, he's the one whose word is going to come true no matter what. No matter how hard men try to fight against God. No matter how hard our world tries to reject the truth of the scripture. This is true. And this is going to happen. Look at the prophecies about Jesus and his birth. Coupled in those prophecies about his birth are also prophecies of his second coming when he comes to rule the world. Guess what? The first half has already happened miraculously. Guess what? The second half is going to happen. So now's the time to get on board, right? He has spoken. You know, Voltaire, the great French philosopher who hated God. Guy cussed God his whole life. Brilliant guy. But just lost, had this heart problem, right? And as he lay dying in his home in France, he foamed and cursed and thrashed his way out. His nurse said she'd never wish that kind of death on anybody. But Voltaire said something as he died. 100 years from now, the name of Jesus Christ won't even be spoken in Europe. You know, 100 years from the date of his death, Voltaire's house was a Bible printing factory that distributed Bibles throughout Europe. I just think God has got this great sense of humor. Oh yeah, big boy? You think so? Right? I just think that's great. I just think it's terrific. God has spoken. You've got to get on that bandwagon, you guys. This is who you are. What he has said about you is absolutely true, and you need to stand on that. It'll get you where you need to go. It'll get you what you need. Coming through the holidays, you know what my official job was? Going to Kroger. We have three of them. I know them all, every inch of that place. And every now and then, the boss lady gives me a list. Go get these, honey. Boom. And I was watching, what was it? I was watching something. It was probably golf. I don't watch it much, but really, I was watching. I get this list. She hands me a list one time, and I kept watching. And she said to me, honey, those groceries aren't going to buy themselves. I said, I know. A few minutes later, she said, look, you can't get there staying in the living room. Okay? I had a car out in the garage. A car. In order to get what I needed, all I had to do was get out in that car, turn the key, and drive myself to Kroger. It's all I had to do. I had a blue card from the bank that I can get whatever I need to with it. You know, the Kroger, it's a great thing. The problem was I was staying in the living room. Now listen, there's a lot of Christians that say, oh, I know God's everything. Oh, I know God's going to give me everything. Oh, the Lord has spoken. But they're not standing on it. They're not acting on it. They're staying spiritually in the living room and they're not getting to where they need to go and get what they need. This is the truth. Live in this reality, in the atmosphere of scriptures, because the Bible says the Lord has spoken. This is what the Lord says. Not only is he the one speaking, he's the one with all the authority. Check this out. Look at the, I love God's resume. He who made the way through the sea, this is middle of verse 16, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses and army and reinforcements together, and there they lay, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. You know who's talking here? This is the one who was leading the slaves, the Israeli slaves, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And as they are leaving, they are being pursued by the Egyptian army because Pharaoh changed his mind and said, I can't let those people go. I need them to build my stuff. And I can't lose. And so he orders his army to go after them. And the children of Israel run on their smack. In front of them is the Red Sea. They have nowhere else to go. There is no way. And Moses said, now what do we do? And the Lord said, look, hold up your staff. And he had this stick. Remember, he'd been carrying for all those years. He held the stick up over the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, the sea itself parted. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. You see, when he says that it is the Lord who made the way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, The Lord makes a way where there is no way. Roger Campbell. I just loved calling their voice message and him not answering, because he would say, this is Roger. Leave your message. We'll call you back as soon as we can. And remember, on the darkest day, God makes a way. That's what he used to say all the time. I miss that. Well, he got it on the radio broadcast, right? He said on the radio, Roger Campbell, our great mentor, and what a great pastor and writer. But God made the way. You see that? Something else, too. The army then pursues the children of Israel into the Red Sea. And what happened to them? It says this. The Lord who drew out the chariots and horses and army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. You know what happened? These guys were so arrogant that here's God parting the waters. The waters, there's walls of water on each side of them as the children of Israel go through the Red Sea. And these guys were arrogant enough to pursue them. And we want to know why that happened? It's because the Lord said, I drew them out. I wanted to wipe those guys out. Isn't that amazing? You might have enemies. Don't worry. God can handle your enemies. He handled theirs. See that? He's the one with all the authority. It's absolutely amazing. He deals with them. I drew them out. Man. And so here's another thing, too. Since he has all the authority, you don't have to try to pay people back or get vengeance or any of that. The Lord says, I will repay. I'll do it. That's not yours. That's mine. I'm going to. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. You don't have to do any of that stuff in your relationships. He has all authority. He has spoken for this year. He has spoken and he is speaking. And he's the one who has all authority. Here's something else in this wonderful portion of Scripture. He talks to us about putting the past into perspective. Look at this. Verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. What? Now, I'm a historian, okay? That's part of my education is history. I love history. But history isn't now. We can learn from history. He's saying to us, forget the past. And what that means is, well, there's two kinds of past. There is our bad past and our good past that can affect us. Our bad past. You've had bad stuff happen to you in the past. And the enemy loves scaring you, telling you it's going to happen again. He loves scaring you with that. And God says, don't remember the past. Forget that. Don't commemorate, is the word. Don't commemorate that evil that happened to you. Don't do that, because it'll scare you. And the other side of it is this too. The whole idea of the good past that we went through. You can't stay there. You had good things. God's been good to you in the past. We all talk about the stories of how those are great. We cling to them and we are grateful to him. But they can't define our now for us. Let me try to explain it to you this way. Do you remember when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Elijah and Moses showed up? These two dead guys were all of a sudden there. And Jesus is all of a sudden shining. It's called transfigured, they said, before them. It was one of those like, woohoo moments, right? Miraculous things are happening right in front of them. We all have stories. We've all had experiences. And Peter said something that is like something that we might want to say. Lord, let's build some houses right here. Let's just stay on this mountain. Come on, we'll build one for you and Elijah and Moses and then for all of us, and we'll all hang out here forever. You can't go back there. You can't stay there. Forget the past. It's about the now. I just think that is just so interesting. You know, we so cling to the past that it affects our present. Like there was in the mountains of West Virginia, when they first brought electricity through in the 40s, there was this little old mountain woman that she paid her money and got her electric put in. And they couldn't figure out why she wasn't using more electricity. So they sent a technician to check to make sure everything was right. He checked everything out. Everything was hooked up right. So he said, ma'am, you've only used this one little section of electricity. Why is that? She goes, well, let me show you how much I use my light. She says, I turn it on long enough to light my kerosene lamp. Okay. Okay, come on. Come on. You got a whole new thing now, okay? You just can't live in that past. Sometimes we're in the past, the good past, because we want to predict what God is going to do. We have this trouble of trusting. So what I want is I want to look in the history and see how God's going to act. Okay. And that way I know what he's going to do now, and I'm going to kind of take some of the risk out, okay? We do that a lot. I want you to know God can't be put in a box. He can't be defined like what he's going to do for you in this very moment. He's going to be good to you. He's going to do everything he promised that he would do, but don't try to use the past to try to predict it, because you know, we like to run our own lives. He's got to be the king. You know, the Queen of England is an interesting figure. I'm always amazed at the way the royals dress. I mean, it's so beautiful to have people dress you and all of that. It's just, they look beautiful. And the Queen, she wears the royal jewels, you know? She lives in castles. But you know something about the Queen of England? She's got no power. She has no authority. They, what they call that is that her position is a courtesy position. So the people in England remember the glory days of England and the royals. But the royals don't have any power. It's the politicians that run everything in Parliament. So they got all the appearance, but they don't run anything. And I know you're all excited about William and Kate, and, you know, will William be king? And how about Kate? I told you that Kate, when they got married, I was down at the UPS store here, and one of the owners there, we were in there, and we said, hey, did you watch the royal wedding? Because, you know, Kate's so cute, and, you know, it's just so, you know, everybody, we like to lose our lives and live vicariously through somebody else. And the guys looked kind of nervous, and they all said to one guy, come on, tell him. So he goes, well, I went to school in England, and I dated Kate a bit. So I'm thinking, okay, here she's trying to make a decision. Do I marry the UPS guy or the next king of England? No? I just think that's so cute. But we're all going, oh, he's going to be king. Oh, Princess Kate. You know, it doesn't matter. They have no power. It's just a figurehead. It's nothing. It looks nice. It makes us feel good. Makes us remember our past and all that stuff. But they got no power. What about Christians that want to run their own lives and do not stand on the word of God and don't give God his place and his power in their life? They use him kind of as a glorified figurehead in their life. Don't do that. There's too many of God's people that try to live that way. Our past, put it in perspective. Forget, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And then this last thing I want to say is this. In 2019, he's doing something new in your life. I don't know what that is. And you say, do you perceive it? No, I don't perceive it, but he's doing his work. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. You see, you can't live in the past. You've got to trust him today in the midst of the nasty now and now. You're dealing with some stuff. You don't know what you're going to do. You got some relationships that are messed up, and you're trying to work them out and try to find out what's balanced and healthy and yet what's forgiving and loving and trying to put all that together. That's all difficult to do. Maybe you're dealing in, you know, in your business, and you're having some hard times, and you got to make some tough decisions, and maybe you're struggling morally, and you're so discouraged with yourself, and you don't know what to do. I want you to know, God says, I'm doing a new thing. You don't have to cling to the past. Cling to the now, because God is in the now. He's there. And get this. I love this. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And get this. I am making a way in the desert or the wilderness. Okay? Do you feel like you're in a wilderness? Like you don't know where to go? There's no path to follow. You've never been here before. You've never been this old. And you've never had to make these kind of decisions. What am I going to do? It doesn't matter if you've got no path to follow. God says, I'm making a way in the wilderness for you. You ever been lost? Man, it's no fun. Maybe inside your head and heart, you're lost today. You don't know which way to go with some stuff. I want you to know God says that now, right now, he's making a way for you. Cling to it. In the wilderness. And then streams in the wasteland or the desert. Streams in the desert. It looks like there's no way what you need is ever going to happen. It looks like you're going to die of thirst in the dry spot in which you live. God says, I am going to bring about springs in your desert. This whole idea, do you perceive it? No. But do you see, that's what faith is. We know who he is. We know what he has said. So let's trust him. We can't figure it out. We only see the next step. We don't see the future. We just have to trust him and step up. But sometimes it gets scary and we don't know what he's doing. And there was a lady. She's driving on the expressway and there was this truck behind her, a panel truck, that was following way too close. So she sped up and the truck stayed right with her. And she slowed down and the truck slowed down and stayed directly behind her just off her bumper. Needless to say, it freaked her out. She didn't know what to do. Boy, she had, talk about the sweaty palms. You know, she couldn't get anybody on her cell phone. She didn't know what to do. And so she came to an exit and she pulled off the exit. The truck stayed right with her. And she pulled into a gas station, jumped out of her car and started screaming for help. And the truck driver from the truck behind her jumped out of his truck, ran to her car, opened the back door and grabbed a guy that was hiding back there and pulled him out of her back seat and saved her. Now listen, it might not seem that you know what in the world God is doing in your life right now, but I know he is speaking. He has all authority. He is doing it now. Don't worry about the past. And he is doing great things and bringing what you need. It's happening. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's true. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you that you don't let us go. That when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, that we are yours forever. And that you do not let us go. And I think of the one who said, I've given the Lord many opportunities to disown me, and he never took one. Thank you, Lord. Lord, our life scares us. The uncertainty of our world scares us. The craziness that's going on in our world scares us. Our age scares us. Our finances scare us. Our relationships scare us. We're taking all this mess, and we're laying it at your feet. And we're asking that you would enable us by your Spirit to draw from your word the truth about ourselves and walking in that reality. Would you help us, Lord? And the world laughs at us for this, but it's so true and it's so real and it works and we're so grateful. So, Lord, I ask that you bless your people as we enter this year together. May it be a time of new blessing, a time of new ways, of new provision, that we'll be able at the end of the year to talk about and rejoice with one another. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.